Today I wanted to share out of things that I actually heard another lady, Jenny Donnelly, share. I want to share out of this simply because, number one, it's a separate voice, totally separate from our house. However, what she shared is things that we're doing here. So it's good to hear the confirmation coming from multiple places. People around the world are starting to catch on to what we're doing. And I found it just really encouraging because that was something that it just stirs in your heart. It stirs hope and faith. Amen? And so there was a couple of weeks ago where on a Wednesday night, I believe it was, LaRue shared out of Zechariah 4 and 9. And he shared, and I'm just going to say briefly, that he just shared that the hands that have prepared are the hands that have laid the foundation. And then the promise was, because he identified, this is where we are. The hands have laid the foundation. The foundation has been laid. It's been established. But see, the encouraging part of it was not only in 4:9, was that the hands have laid a foundation, but the hands do finish the work. You are in the generation that gets to finish the work. We are the generation that gets to finish what God has assigned, gets to finish what God has already done. If we're going to be a last time generation, we're going to be the ones that got to get to finish what God has already established. He's already put it forth, and he's going to be quickening in us and then through us. Amen? Knowing that, basically she shared something she called, you are here. And so knowing your spiritual position, knowing your spiritual position will allow you to overcome the opposition. If you know your spiritual position, it positions you to overcome the opposition. So you got to know where you are. The more we know where we are and relevant to both ourselves and what the enemy is doing, okay, it takes a knowledge of both pieces. You know where you are, and then know where he is. Now you can develop strategy to deal with that. See, our journey with God starts with our yes. How many of you have given a yes? We want to give our yes, because the journey starts with a yes. But see, with your yes comes a whole lot of no's. I've shared this before, but when I said yes to Kim, I said no to 3.5 billion people. By definition, when I say yes to one, I said no to everybody else. When I said yes to Christ, I said no to a whole lot of things. When I said Jesus, I'm going to make Jesus my Lord. Lord carries a certain significance to it. Lord means that I'm going to turn it over to you. When I make Jesus my Lord, now that means there's a whole lot of things that I don't do. And it's not because I have to follow a whole bunch of rules. You know what? It has not been within me to want to go murder somebody. By the nature of who you are now, your life changes. I'm not adding Jesus to everything else I'm doing. Do you understand the difference? See, if a Hindu gets saved, sometimes it's not a big deal because they already serve 13 million gods. So this adding one more god does not really make a whole lot of difference in their life. But if I become exclusive, if I become exclusive with this God, with Jehovah Jireh, the one who is my provider, when I become exclusive with him, now all of a sudden he becomes the one who is Lord. That changes everything. Think about it. My life is going to look a little different than it used to. So our yes becomes a locator. Our less represents a place of submission. You can't follow God until you're willing to submit it. Everything about you, the good, the bad, and the ugly, all of it needs to be submitted. You know, some of the things that I used to do good, you know, I could do good on certain things. You know, I need to submit that too. Because that good ain't God. Until it's surrendered to him, it doesn't change me. And until it's surrendered to him, then I can't step into the transformation that's available to me. But my surrender qualifies me for humility before him. Beautiful. That surrender now empowers me to walk with him in a way that I could not have otherwise walked. Humility is part of surrender. You can't truly surrender without humility. I can give somebody my vocal allegiance, But that's not surrender. Surrender, I have to come down to my knees. I have to come down to my heart and let my heart be changed and transformed by what I'm doing, what I'm saying, what goes on. Amen? So let me just paint you a picture about why you are here. Think about it. It's Christmas time. Okay, this is from my perspective. It's Christmas time. And then at Christmas time, I had to go to the mall. I hate going to the mall. I don't like to go to a mall, but I'm on a mission. I have an assignment. Well, there are a couple of things that you need to know when you're on a mission. You need to know your position, and you need to know the destination or the assignment. So what do? You walk inside. First thing I do is I go up and check that little map. And what does the little map tell you? It tells me I am here. See, because I have to know where I'm at to start my mission. I have to know the destination. I have to know what it is I'm supposed to accomplish. I have to know where I'm going. Because when I know where I'm going, now I can actually accomplish my mission. If I just wander around inside forever, I can wander around inside forever and never see where the sales store is. You know, because then you get inside, you know, especially when you're kind of, you're a little bit ADD, you get over here, you're distracted like this, oh, look at this and look at that, and you forget what you're doing. But if I know my position, you are here. See, there's an acronym, Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, starts with, you are here, Y-A-H, Yah. I am here, Yahweh. Say it with me, Yahweh. Right there, you can enter in just like that. That's your entering in right there. Yahweh. I breathe in. Breathe out. Releasing, breathing in God, standing in that place, coming into alignment and agreement with Him, and then breathe out and let His rest become part of me. Amen? Yahweh, you are here. Yah, you're inside me. I'm one with you. You're one with me. I am with you. Because you, by every invitation, you set up a place for me. You set up a place for me to come. And I step into it now, intentionally. I step into it because I choose to be with you. Where you are. You see how it just shifted right there and the whole atmosphere just shifted. Y'all went into rest. It's available. It's something that becomes part of who you are. That rest becomes part of who you are. When I can start surrendering myself to the Lordship of Christ and I start practicing entering in with Him, now that rest will just be part of my life. Instead of the chaos around me, my life is starting to be ordered by what's in me. Amen? Now, sometimes we do a lot of things to escape the chaos. But lots of things that I used to do to escape the chaos weren't good things. Well, there were things that took me away from God instead of bringing me into Him. Amen? So you have an objective, you have a position. Here, let's just go to Genesis 1:28 for me. I want to show you your objective. Verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. In the New Living Testament, it says, fill the earth and govern it. That is your objective. To fill the earth and to govern it. What's in you is supposed to spill out and cause the world that's around us to conform. What's in us is supposed to spill out. So unfortunately, when stuff comes spilling out of me in the old days, it caused things to conform, but it was a different conforming. You know, when that guy cuts you off in traffic and you just try to run him off the road? You know, that was something in you spilling out. Now, what's supposed to spill out of this is something that looks like love. What's supposed to spill out of this is something that looks like peace, something that looks like the glory of God that is being shared and shed abroad, because it's in our heart. Now it's getting shed abroad, not just in my heart, but in the hearts of all those around me. See, I'm called to govern. You're called to govern. We're called to govern the world around us, to create order out of the chaos. When this was happening, it was in the very formation of the earth, and man was standing with God and creating order. Remember the names that were mentioned earlier? When you had to start naming, he's creating order. We're called to create order, to govern it. And Jenny said this, he said, when you're in authority, Satan sees you as the majority. When you're in authority, Satan sees you as the majority. If you're standing in the authority of your call to govern and create order, now Satan has to respect you on the level that you're interacting with God. He has to honor you in the level that you're interacting with God. Because I'm sitting in and I'm allowing the heart of God to move through me, now then the enemy has to look and respect to me in that way. Now instead of me being fearful of the enemy is not happy when I get up. He's not going to be happy when Tim gets up. All of a sudden, he's going, uh-oh, order's coming. Order's happening. Glory to God. You know, it's time for us to, as a body, as the church, is to start taking back the public square. We need to take back the public square. We need to start creating order. You know, sometimes I'm amazed at some of the things that are being said and done today. I'm, you know, a little saddened. Like when, and I'm sure Carl would get this one, when they just started decreeing that they're going to have, that Biden was telling they're going to have an all-electric military. Well, I'm sorry, but on what battlefield are you going to stop and plug in? Sorry, hey, wait, y'all, peace, ceasefire, because I got to recharge. Any solar panel you put up is going to get shattered, okay? There is no way to have an all-electric military. And some general need to stand up and say, hey, that's stupid. We're not doing it. Yay! Bring order. That's order. Come on. Somebody just stand up and say, no, we're not doing it. We're not doing drag queens in libraries either. They want to tell you it's a public service. No, it's grooming. What interest do you have in children? I'll tell you what interest they have in children, because that's evangelism. And that evangelism is the only way that they can spread what they got. It's a spirit, it's an assignment, and we need to recognize what it is and start dealing with it like that. Joseph, when he was in the prison, remember what happened to Joseph? For one, he got thrown in a pit. He gets exalted to what's-his-name's house, and then he gets thrown in prison from there. And so he's in prison, and guess what? It does not look like the things that were prophesied. But he's in the prison, and as he's in the prison, then he begins to create order. He begins to govern. He starts creating order where there was none. Because he's a man of excellence, and everywhere he goes, he began to set up excellence. And as he set up excellence, guess what? He got himself promoted to the second in command of all of Egypt. Why? Because he walked in the inheritance he had been given. We've been given an inheritance, and it's time for us to recognize the power of the inheritance. Because the word that is in you, the word that is you, every one of you carry, the word that every one of you have heard, is more powerful than the enemy who opposes you. Amen. So we walk in the inheritance. Stand in the inheritance. Go with me to Judges. Judges 6. This is a familiar story for lots. And this is Gideon. Verse 11. So verse 11, we see Gideon here. And the angel of the Lord came and sat at the oak tree that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abizurite, and his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites. Well, we're not an agricultural society anymore, so we don't understand what that just means. But what it means is he's standing in a hole in the ground. and he's trying to beat out his wheat and separate out his wheat. And the deal is, the reason that is so ridiculous is because normally they would stand on the top of a hill, not in some hole. And when they would stand on top of the hill, you would take the wheat and you would stick your fork in there, your winnowing fork, and you'd throw it up, and the wheat would be heavy and the actual seed, the grain, would fall right back on in the ground. But the wind could carry off the chaff. If you're standing in a hole and you're picking it up and tossing it in front of yourself, how much carrying off of the chaff is happening? Almost none. But he's doing that because he doesn't want the Midianites to be out on the horizon going, hey, whoop, I see somebody's got a harvest. Let's go get it. So he's in the midst of a large case of fear. And the angel comes and talks to him. And how does the angel just say? Verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. Oh, valiant warrior. That's not how he sees himself. He's standing in fear. He's in a wine press. It's the hole in the ground, trying to not be seen. Have you ever been trying to not be seen? Here's how he sees himself. Gideon said to him, verse 13, oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about? I want you to notice how he sees himself, verse 15. And he said, O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house. His view of himself was very pessimistic. His view of himself was the least of the least. And yet the Lord addresses him, O valiant warrior. See, the Lord sees something in you that you don't always see, but he's going to respond to you from what he sees, not from what you see. He's going to order things from what he sees, not what you see. And sometimes we have to line ourselves up with the Lord's idea of what is actually right. Because when we begin to see it like he sees it, that gives us an alignment. The purpose of this. Read verse 8 with me. And the Lord sent a prophet to the sons of Israel, said to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, it was I who brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of slavery. And I delivered you from the hands of Egyptians and from the hands of your oppressors and dispossessed them before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God, and you shall not fear the gods of the Amorites whose land you live, in whose land you live. But you have not obeyed me. Remember the submission thing? The submission matters. But see, here's what happened. They got over here in this land and now they're hiding in wine presses. They forgot who they were as a nation. They forgot who they were. They forgot the inheritance that had been given to them. They forgot the God that they served. They forgot what they were actually doing out there. And now the Lord's reminding them, and he sends a reminder to Gideon, and he empowers Gideon to do what is going to be necessary. To become the judge of Israel. To become the one who leads them into battle and leads them into victory and leads them into 40 years of prosperity, because he begins to set order. Remember when we were talking about setting order? He begins to set order into the world environment around them. Because one person responded. One person responded to what was being done. Hallelujah. Let me just read something. Proverbs 21, verse 21 in the Passion Translation says it this way. The lovers of God who chase after righteousness find all their dreams come true, an abundant life drenched with favor and a fountain of life that overflows with satisfaction. Verse 22, a warrior filled with wisdom ascends into the high place and releases breakthrough, bringing down the strongholds of the mighty. What you say out of your mouth matters. What you establish out of your mouth matters. Oh, I was brought up in a house where there was a lot of negativity that was spoken, but you don't have to do that. It might be what you were around and surrounded with when you were young, but guess what? It doesn't have to be your destiny. You don't have to stay there in agreement with it. You can start prospering because you believe and release a prosperity of your mouth. When you start releasing a prosperity of your mouth, now it positions you for the God to add the rest of it to you. Amen? So your physical location doesn't always tell you where you really are. Sometimes your physical location is a remnant of your past. You want to know where you are, but sometimes we may not be happy to find where we are. But know that that might just be a remnant of the past. Because it's not part of the destiny that God has already created. It's not part of the destiny He's already there to shout down to you. He's releasing you from that place. He was ready to release Gideon from his place of captivity. And his captivity was really more about the fear than physically where he was. The Lord is ready to set you free, but the reality is most of the time it's what's in us that needs to be left dealt with more than what's around us. Or what's around us can just be an artifact that's left over from something that already happened. It's not about tomorrow. You don't have to be stuck. Amen? And here's the part that really excited me when Jenny jumped to that. Let's go to Ephesians 2. Remember, you are here. This is right here. This is where you are. Ephesians 2, verse 6. And raised us up with Him and seated with Him in heavenly places. He raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in heavenly places. When we start recognizing that we are here, when that becomes the dominant thought in our thinking, that is going to change everything that we do. When we become in alignment with Him and being present in heavenly places, it changes everything that you respond to. It changes how you respond. It changes the reason and the why you respond. How many needs for the why to be changed? If I'm responding just because I want to be nice to somebody, that's a great thing, but it's not a God thing. If I'm responding because I want to bless somebody and I want to be a part of what God is doing to release a blessing, now it's a whole more powerful thing. The thing that we might be leaving behind might be a good thing, but it's only a good thing if it's not compared to the thing that God wants us to be involved with. I mean, I don't have to tell you week after week of the ugliness that I used to do. Sometimes I have to leave behind the old me that was actually parts of that were okay. But I recognize that okay is not nearly as good as His okay. Amen. That okay is not nearly as good as His righteousness, His peace, His love, His joy. Because when those things are released, those things are spiritual forces that will go forth and change something without me even being there. But the best my okay can do is maybe make him feel better in just this moment. I give him a pillow right in the middle of his pit. How many know that if somebody's in a pit, throwing a pillow down and making them comfortable is not really a help? Okay? You can throw them a pillow and a blanket. It doesn't help them, does it? But yet sometimes that's what we do because we're doing something in our own strength rather than giving them the word and the promise of God. When we give them the word and the promise of God, when we give them the truth of God, now all of a sudden we've got them something that changes their life and they can get out of the pit. Amen. Guess what? When you're in a pit is just nothing but a place for training for reigning. Amen. Training for reigning in the pit. Because we're in a hole. That's why we talked about Joseph. That's why we talked about Gideon. Because they were in a pit. They were stuck in a pit. But guess what? It was just their training for reigning. Their training for winning. How many are ready to win some with the, win some with Christ now? I'm ready to win. So our position here. You're right here. You're positioned right here. You're already positioned up in Him. Up in the holy place, up in with the Father, where you have a communion with the Father between you and the Lord. Those are things that it's already given. It's already done for your spirit. Remember when he was talking about earlier, he said that there was a place where you were recognized him with in his death, but you also recognized with him in his resurrection. My old man died with Christ when he died, but my new man resurrected into life at the same moment he resurrected into life. And I hadn't even been born yet. I hadn't even acknowledged it yet, but it was already made possible. Because God had a plan. He had a plan for my life. I didn't understand the plan for my life. I ran from the plan for my life for a long time. But I was just recalling the other day when I was in fourth grade. I was like 11. And I wrote my first sermon. And then we moved. All that went away. All the support system went away. My interest in those things went away. And life changed. We'll just put it that way. And then when I was 35, I rediscovered the plan. It doesn't matter when you discover the plan. Just get with the plan. Get with the plan. Because God is doing something in your life. He wants to change not only you, He wants to change somebody else because of you. You carry something. You carry something of value for others. And because you do, He's already equipping you. Hallelujah. See, Jesus died and resurrected and walked 40 days and then He ascended. Because He ascended, so do we. When Jenny said that part, I was like, somebody's listening to Jesus. Holy Spirit's moving in her too. And the word is getting out. God is doing something, guys. He's doing something. I find it very affirming to see another camp begin to obtain the things that we're learning. We don't have to worry about excluding them. We just have to worry about, hey, how do I join with this and help it along and bless it and release it? Hallelujah. So, remember I said it changes the why. So if you feel powerless, you forgot where you came from. You forgot where you are. See, we're far above. If you back up, Ephesians 1 and 2 should have all been one chapter. So if you back up to verse 20 of chapter 1, the working of His strength, which He brought about in Christ, when He raised Him up from the dead and seated Him in His right hand in the heavenly places. That same power, that same authority that went into the earth that had to be done so that sin and death could be put to a permanent end, that same power and that same authority that raised Him up is the same authority He's given you. And it's the same right He's given you to come and stand before a holy and awesome God with reverence and honor, not fearing for yourself, but rather giving honor to the one who is deserving of all honor. Because when we do, it's somebody that's equipping us. Now, there's things you can do in His presence, things you can learn in His presence. When you're in a place of absolute faith, everything becomes possible. When I'm standing with Him and I'm standing in a place of absolute faith, everything that surrounds me, everything that I look at with my senses is in faith. All of a sudden, the possibilities become endless. It says, the word says, in His light we see light. Well, the possibilities of what His light is so outside of what I can imagine. It just goes and goes. But why? I can look at it and be in agreement. Lord Jesus, I see you over there. I see you. And I'm ready to move with you. Because in this place, you've said it. You've established it. In this place, you're establishing it in my heart. Until all of a sudden, it starts bubbling out of you somewhere. And you're walking through Home Depot. I've been working out at the gym and all of a sudden I'm just crying and snot's running out of my nose and all these people are looking at me and I'm like, Jesus, this is on the scene. It's not always funny, but but it's this, His presence shows up and people get drawn to that. What's going on over here? Hallelujah. When we live from where we are, things against us are from below us. When you live from your spirit man, when you're in your spirit man and your spirit man is interacting with something, everything that's coming against, when it is coming against that is far below you. Do you realize when you go and you're before the holy and awesome God, the more that you see Him, the more you become aware of how big He is. Do you realize your spirit is made in a class like His? Meaning that if you'll take a look at yourself in that place, you'll dare to look at yourself with the eyes of faith. Your spirit man, you start looking at your spirit man, it's not just this frame. It's not this 6'2 frame anymore. It's something that's expansive. Like He is. Glory to God. So we live out our yes, meaning we begin to rule from the higher place. Meaning we begin to step and look and release order into all the things that are around us from the same place. So when you're doing that, she called it having an Ephesians 2:6 day. I can tell you that Sunday before last, my Ephesians 2:6 day, what it looked like. Come in, and I'm coming in early to worship and just, you know, set the atmosphere for the service and honor the Lord. And as we're starting to do that, the computer goes south. And then I have to go back there. And fortunately, all that one took was a reboot, and it fixed it. But there was no sound. Well, the sound was coming out. The sound just wasn't intelligible. But then that fixed it. So then I realized, wait a second. The office in there is getting hotter instead of cooler. And I thought, oh, man, the compressor's broken. Because I'd already been on the roof on Monday fixing it. And so the only thing that hadn't really been touched was the compressor. So that's probably what's going to be. I'm going to get above this. Why? Because the warrior comes from a place from above. He comes and kind of begins to travel with wisdom, and now he begins to release breakthrough wherever I go. And so as I began to stand up and release breakthrough, there were things that began to shift and happen. And so we were able to make a fix to the computer just by shifting it to a different computer. And then when I got up to the AC on the system on Monday, I went up there and I looked, and the cover, because of the storm, had gotten sucked off of it because it's so rusty that there wasn't anything. The screws couldn't hold it. And so it was actually sucking outside air and blowing it in. How many know that that was going to be hot? The fix wasn't a compressor. I'm having an Ephesians 2:6 day. I get to dominate. And it didn't cost us anything but a couple of screws to reattach it and get it back on. And but see, when you're having an Ephesians 2:6 day, no matter what's coming at you, I'm above it. I'm creating order out of the chaos. I'm creating order where there was no order. I'm making the government of the God to be our thing and our heart and our message. I'm establishing the government of God into the things that I'm touching, into the things I'm saying, into the things I'm doing. This is where we live in Ephesians 2:6. Ephesians 2:6 is it's possible. Simply because of shifting of how you think. You know, you're going to be a product of your most dominant thought. You are a product of your most dominant thought. So if my most dominant thought is, I am seated in heavenly places with my Christ Jesus. I am seated in heaven, and I am seated in a place of authority. I have an inheritance, and I get to release out of the place of inheritance. I get to release out of the place of domination, because why? He's already in me, and now what's in me gets released into this world. I'm going to create order. I'm going to create order everywhere I go. I'm going to create the very plan of God, make it released into this moment, whatever that moment might be. It's awesome to see when you start seeing yourself that way and you're releasing into somebody how much you can impart to them in just a few statements. You can change somebody's life by seeing who they really are and releasing it to them. Giving them the authority to walk in it. Giving them the authority to stand up in it. To see not just the man playing the piano, but to see the person who's following after God, Clint, is following after God, and their passion is igniting a new thought and a new play in their heart. See, what you can release happens in that moment. And it might be your only call. Your only call, you don't have to put pressure, because sometimes it's just to give them a smile. Release a smile. That might be the whole assignment in that moment. Or it may be that you're to release the word that begins to change the whole shape of their life. Doesn't matter what the assignment is. We just do it unto Him. We have one who supervises us. One who looks over us. One that we're responsible to. If we're responsible to Him, everything else is going to turn out the way it's supposed to be. Amen? That's how we dominate. That's how we begin to learn to interact with Ephesians 2:6 in our life and make it practical in our daily walk. And that's the encouragement that I took out of what she had to say, was that Ephesians 2:6 becomes something that becomes a practical experience to be released. Hallelujah. And if I go on from Ephesians 2:6, in order that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. I want to read that again. Which God prepared beforehand. Guess what? Those good works that He puts in front of you when you walk out of here, He prepared them beforehand. The person that you're going to meet at Walmart, He already prepared it beforehand. The person that you're going to meet when you go and get your oil changed, He already prepared it beforehand. Those good works, He prepared it beforehand that you might walk in them. Amen? Amen. God bless you.